Praise God. Just waiting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, last week we spoke about to know what to sow, to know what you sow. We talked about what we sow and speaking the truth. We talked about speaking the truth in love, obeying the truth, and walking in the truth. And Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make you free." And so it's so important for us to have understanding that God desires us to be free. I don't know about you, but freedom to me looks a little like freedom from debt, freedom from sickness, freedom from disease, freedom from the bondage of sin, that who the Son has made free is free indeed, that God wants us to walk in this freedom and all the freedom that he purchased for you and I on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus said it was finished, it was done, it was complete, and now it's not about us doing something, it's about us having revelation and understanding on how to step into the finished work of Christ on Calvary. The problem is, so many times as we try to accomplish and do it on our own strength and in our own way, instead of resting and trusting in the one that has provided and purchased it for us. So when we look at that, today we're going to look at go a little bit deeper and to know what to pray. You know, how many knows that sometimes you're faced with situations and you just don't know what to pray? Amen? So let's go our word to Romans chapter 8. We'll start there and we'll build a little foundation and then we'll take off and see where the Lord takes us. Amen? You got your rocket blasters ready? Amen. Praise God. If you need a Bible, slip it. Does anybody need a Bible? We'll get you one. Can we get some Bibles, guys? Amen. I'm a word man, so everything is going to come from the word. Praise God. Right there. Amen. Romans chapter 8. You there? When you get Romans chapter 8, just say amen. Amen. You know, the word of God says in verse number 24, it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." I want to speak to you this morning about powerful, productive prayer. Powerful, productive prayer. I believe that God does not desire for you and I to pray aimlessly. Amen. I believe that God is a God of strategy. I believe that he's a God that does things decently and he does them in order, and he gave us instructions in his word how to overcome everything that you face in life. And so as we're looking at this, let's go into Mark chapter 11, and we're going to use the example that Jesus gave us, and we're going to build on that today. We're going to begin in verse number 22, which says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Let's stop there first. Faith comes from the Greek word pistis. Pistis means trust, reliance, confidence. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 1, "But now faith cometh by," "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now faith, not yesterday's faith, not next week's faith, but faith for the here and now. I'm talking about now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, it's a faith that manifests himself right now. It's not about worrying and looking and seeking. And I have this thing that the Lord's really been correcting me on. And one of the things he's been correcting me on is, I have a thing to say, sometimes when I believe that I should have gone and should have done something that I haven't done yet, and I make the statement while I'm waiting on the Lord. And the Lord says, no, you're not. He says, I'm waiting on you. In other words, faith steps. Faith steps without seeing. Faith is believing God and his word and acting accordingly. He says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. We spoke about that on Thursday night. It was a revelation that Bill brought forth. The hearing was for the hearing now. It's not about what you heard. I heard an old, old story. Amen. 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 And in other words, what are you saying? Even though I heard that old, old story, that's good. God gave us his word. But now we're talking about this. So then faith cometh by hearing now, hearing today, hearing from God this very moment. You know, David, when he was facing the giant, Goliath, he remembered what was in the past, but he had to have faith for the here and now. So then your faith's coming by hearing. You've got to hear what God has to say. Now. Now. It's now faith. Now faith. And hearing by the word of God. So as God speaks, every time this word is spoken, God is speaking to you. He says, listen, listen, listen to what the Spirit has to say to you. He says, if you have an ear to hear, listen, listen, because God wants to take you somewhere today that you haven't had faith to go before. Hello? We're not here by accident. We're here because God purposed for you to sit and to hear what God has to say today through his word. So we're talking about, Jesus says, have faith in God. Then he says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And I want to speak to you this morning out of verse number 24, but I'm going to build off this whole text. It says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. The title of this morning's message is Seeing the Resolve. Seeing the Resolve. Seeing the Solution. Resolve means solution. For every problem that you face, there is a solution, and God has a solution to every problem that you face. Every problem that you face has a solution. God gives us a solution to every problem we face. Amen? Three things I want to share with you this morning out of this text is, one, praying with focus, praying with faith, and praying with forgiveness. Praying with focus, praying with faith, and praying with forgiveness. Can we lift the word together and can we make a declaration together in the house of God today? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me, for I'm listening. My ears are open and my heart is receptive. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do today, Father God. Lord, and I pray right now, Father God, that you speak through me, Father God. May the words come forth with clarity and understanding, Father God. May the people in the house be edified. May they be exhorted. May they be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, if there's those here that do not know you, may this be the day of their salvation. If there's any that drifted away, may this be the day of the return. And for the entire body of believers, Father God, may we be strengthened. May our faith increase as your word is declared that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by your word. So, Lord, we praise you and give you glory in advance for everything that you're going to accomplish in this house today. And we'll never cease to give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Seeing the result. And this is what the Lord was speaking to me about. And then in verse number 23, it says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Look to your neighbor and say, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. Now let me say something to you. What God is saying to you today, listen to me. You need to see the solution. You need to see the answer, not the mountain. The problem is you exalt the mountain instead of exalting the answer. God says, whatever you're out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes you make the mountain bigger than the answer. God says, exalt the answer and the mountain will get smaller. Come on. Come on. If I was, when I have the solution, I'm seeking God. All good gifts and all perfect gifts come from the Father above. He wants me to be whole. He wants me to be healthy. He wants me to be wise. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask him. He gives it to you. He's given us everything we need. So here's the situation. The situation is I get a report from the doctor. All of a sudden, I start elevating the doctor's report. And I disregard God's report. And he says, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to believe God in his word. I'm going to believe what he said. In other words, stop exalting the problem and exalt the answer. Because whatever you magnify gets control. Amen? You hear me? The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40, he said in verse 4, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. In other words, if you're seeking God's will and you're walking according to his word and you believe in God and his word, so many times we believe the doctor more than we believe God. Sometimes we believe the banker more than we believe God. Sometimes our focus gets caught up in the problem instead of the solution. In other words, what God says is, if you keep your eyes on the solution, I'll show you every obstacle and every mountain that's between you and your answer. In other words, if I'm setting the focus, let's say, for example, if I'm going to take a straight dash and my goal is to get to Port Road. Now, GPS would take me all kinds of different directions, but if I wanted to go a straight path, he said he'd make the crooked path straight, and if I want to go a straight path to Port Road, I'm looking at the obstacles that are between me and Port Road. The Bible says, without vision, the people perish. In other words, I have to have a vision for God's resolve or God's solution so I can walk towards it. If I can't get a picture of myself whole, if I can't get a picture of myself in peace, in joy, if I can't get a picture of that, if I can't see it, I can't walk towards it. In other words, you only reach what you're walking towards. You only reach what you're going towards. Amen? And when somebody gives you a report and you're following that report, all of a sudden you get off and the report becomes bigger than your God. Amen? You know, and sometimes when we're walking, we're believing God for the supernatural because we serve a supernatural God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we ever expected or even asked him to do. As we're seeking him and we're believing him and we're trusting him, he's shown us the mountains, and all of a sudden, strategically, we're binding and loosing. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, be loose in heaven. Now, some people say, well, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the Lord that healeth me. He's still the Lord that healeth you. He's still the Lord that restores marriages and heals families. He's still the Lord that provides for each and every one of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. Amen. Amen. So as we're believing this and we're seeing this, we're binding some mountains. And the prophet Nahum said in Nahum chapter 1, verse number 15, he said, "Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace, O Judah. Keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee." He is utterly cut off. You know, when he says, "How beautiful are the mountains at the feet of him that publishes the gospel of peace and glad tidings of good things," that we're to be on the mountain, not the mountain in front of us. How beautiful are the feet upon the mountains. You're a child of God. You step on the mountain. You call that mountain down. You take authority over that mountain. How about that song, "How Lovely Are the Mountains"? You know that song? How lovely
our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. How lovely are the mountains, are the feet of them that bring good news. Good news.
That's right, in the name of Jesus, I'm vocal, so
today.
Amen. In other words, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them. Amen. And what we're looking at is we're talking about obstacles. When in Zechariah chapter 4, when they're rebuilding the temple, in Zechariah 4:6, it says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by thy spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And who art thou, great mountain, that you should stand in the way of Zerubbabel? In other words, there was a mountain. There was a mountain of adversity that was in front of him that was keeping him. And that mountain was called down low. Amen? That mountain became underneath his feet because they finished building. They completed what God called him to do. Amen? In other words, what the Lord is saying, first of all, our prayer has to be focused. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? We focus our prayer. We focus our prayer. We see the answer. We magnify the answer. And then, of course, we see everything that's standing as an obstacle between me and the answer. And then we start taking authority over the mountains. Amen? I truly believe that we're men and women of authority. When Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, now go ye therefore. Amen. There was a transfer. Amen. There was a transfer of authority. We walk in the fullness of God. Amen. We walk in his fullness. Amen. Then we see, secondly, he says in our text today, secondly, in our text today, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you may receive them, and you shall have them. We pray with faith. You know, because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So as we're walking and we're praying the answer, not the problem. Our prayer is focused. We're binding the obstacles. We're binding the mountains. We're calling those things that are as though they were, all right? In other words, we're speaking forth. We're speaking life. We're holding on to the answer and not to the problem. We're praying with faith. We're trusting. We have confidence. We have expectation that God's going to do everything that he said he was going to do. Amen? He said it, and the Bible says that he's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he needs to repent. If God said it, he's going to do it. You know, I was reminded in Mark chapter 9, if you turn there, there was a man that had a son that had a demonic spirit. And this man had come to his disciples, and Jesus' disciples, and asked him to heal his son, and they couldn't heal him. And the father came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, in verse 23 of Mark 9, all things are possible to them that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. In other words, he believed, but he just didn't quite believe enough. You know, that's why sometimes in the body of Christ, the Bible says, where two agree as touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. It's about coming in the power of agreement. Everyone that's in the room has a measure of faith. It's when we bring our measure together. As we bring our measure together, that's when there's a manifestation of God moving in supernatural ways. Amen. God's about the supernatural, our natural with his super. Amen. We serve a super duper God. You know, when I was looking at that, John 14, 12, it's a familiar text. Jesus said, in verse 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. There's greater of magnitude. There's greater things that took place. You know, we find in Acts chapter 5 that even the shadow of Peter healed the sick. They brought the sick on the streets, and the very shadow of Peter passing by, it said he healed all of them. He didn't heal some of them. He said they were all healed in Acts chapter 5 verse 15. In Acts chapter 19, the Bible says that they took cloths or aprons out of Paul's clothing that touched his body, and they sent it to the sick, and they took the very clothing and laid upon them, and they were healed. I want you to understand, we serve a God that heals. We're a God, we serve a God that doesn't do things halfway. We serve a God that does it all the way. Amen. I don't know anything about God that he didn't finish. When he said, he didn't say it's almost done. He didn't say I'm still working on it. Jesus said on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. I was wounded for your transgressions. I was bruised for your iniquity. The chastisement of your peace was upon me, and with my stripes you were healed. You were healed. You were healed. I believe God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I believe signs and wonders and miracles follow them that believe. Amen. I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on teaching. I'm going to keep on watching it take place. And if you want to believe it, come along, get healed, that's up to you. But I'm going to walk in wholeness of health. Amen. The Lord healed my body. The Lord healed me of sugar diabetes. He healed me of my cholesterol. He healed my triglycerides. He healed my blood pressure. He healed everything in my body. There's nothing wrong in my body. Amen. Because I serve a God that heals. And he's no respecter of persons. He didn't do it just for me. That same thing he did for me, he'll do for you. Amen? There is no secret.
What God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon. What God can do.
Amen. It's nice having a choir in the house. I shared with the congregation last week, I have a little grandbaby, Aaron. He just turned 6, and he really loves my voice. And when I speak, he's 6 months, yeah. Six, yeah, ain't six that quick. 6 months. And he, when he's crying and upset, all they do is he looks at me and I talk to him and he starts smiling. He gets a big smile on his face. It's really precious. And the other Sunday we were here and he was crying. And as he looked at me, he started smiling. Then I start to sing and that smile turned upside down. And a lot of the congregation just reminds me that the gift wasn't in singing. But I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, church, but I love Jesus. I love him so much. He has been so good to me. He's been so good to you. You don't have to look too far to see how much Jesus has blessed you. You know, and if you're facing something in your life or you're facing a circumstance or a situation, just reflect back. And just reflect back for a moment to where Jesus was there the last time. And if he was there before, he'll be there again. Amen? We serve a God that gives and gives and gives and gives. The Energizer Bunny don't have anything like our Lord has. Amen? He ain't going to run out. Amen? He's one that keeps on giving. And you know, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, he said, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Amen. Because of the anointing. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Learn of me, he says. Amen. He wants to break that yoke of bondage. He wants to take that thing off. So many times we carry so much stuff that we're not supposed to carry. We were never created to carry those things. He saw our weaknesses, and in our weakness we are made strong through him. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. When I recognize that I couldn't bear it, I cast it to the one that bears all of my burdens. Amen. Amen. If I walk around and I tried to carry everything that's in this world, I'd be walking around like the hunchback from Notre Dame. Hallelujah. But God has lifted my burden. He has set the captive free. He has broken the prison doors. Amen. You and I are free birds singing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Smile, Jesus loves you. Amen? I don't know about you, but that's good news. Now, you might shout and yell because you saved some on your car insurance. But maybe we ought to shout because Jesus has given us blessed assurance. Blessed assurance.
You sing my story,
this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Amen. You know, so when we're praying, the Lord wants us to, one, pray with focus. We're praying the resolve, the solution. We're looking at the answer. We're praying with faith. We're believing God to remove every obstacle out of our way. He'll make the crooked path straight. The mountains will come down. The valleys will rise up. Amen? I want to share this story. Early in my Christian life, I had an international vacation club when I gave my heart to the Lord. And I had a big sales team in Cancun, Mexico. And when I gave my heart to the Lord in 1997, October the 12th, he started speaking to my heart. And I got in the Word and it said, he'll make a crooked path straight. I thought, wow, man, God's going to turn this business on, this international business. He's going to turn it around. And one day I was sitting there and I was praying. I was in the Word. And he said, son, he said, can you control what all the salespeople are telling those folks that are vacationing in Cancun, Mexico? And I said, no. I couldn't control it. Then he said, what are you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to get rid of it. And I got rid of it. I didn't sell it. It wasn't sellable because it wasn't right. But there was a vacation club, there was a membership body that needed to be taken care of. So I gave it away to a company in Florida. I transferred the ownership of the company and all of its to the company in Florida because I was blessed because I couldn't. God isn't going to take wrong and make it right unless you can control it. In other words, sometimes we've got to let some things in life go. We got to let some things in life go. You know, sometimes we just have to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. He said, trust me with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. In other words, we got to be in that place where we're trusting him. We're giving him confidence and trust in him. Oh, and it wasn't only that. I had 5 international corporations. I had to transfer every last one of them. I couldn't keep any of them. I was a salesman. I was looking to make money. And when I was looking to make money, it didn't matter. It was about money. And then I gave away everything and had nothing. And I had more joy, more happiness, more peace than I ever had in anything I had. I thought about having the things in this world would bring me joy. Oh, I had the Jaguars, I had the Porsche, I had all the toys, but none of them made me happy. Jesus is what made me happy. Jesus is what gave me peace. Jesus is what supplies each and every one of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. When you folks here, that they ran into somebody else that told them about this church from Pennsylvania or wherever y'all met someone. And one of the things that she asked me when he came in was, did you give your house? Yeah. When we were building this church, we sold our house to this church. But we got blessed with a house. You can't outgive God. I gave a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. He gave me a 6-bedroom, 4-bath. Amen? Most of you witnessed it. You all were here. You all saw what God did. Amen? In other words, God is saying to us, if we see, if we focus our prayer and believe in the resolve, in the answer, we'll walk towards it. We'll walk in victory. Amen? God says we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus that strengthens you and I. I'm a victor. I'm a winner. I'm a winner in Christ. You're a winner in Christ. Amen? In other words, if you get it in your mentality and your understanding that you're a blessed man or woman of God, I'm blessed wherever I go. I got favor wherever I go. Why? Not because of me, but because of Him. Amen? It's just let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets the praise. It's all about Him. Amen? Now, you can't tell me that a God that loves you, the God that cares for you, a God that desires for you to have all good things, wants you to be sick. Get that out of your brain. The devil wants you to be sick. He wants you to be miserable. He wants you to be broken. He wants to kill you. But God came to give you life and the abundance thereof. Amen? I serve a God of life. Matter of fact, you know, he talks about life. He talks about Zoe life. Zoe life. The abundance thereof. So we got to pray with focus. We got to pray with faith. And we got to pray with forgiveness. Forgiveness. Verse 25 says that when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. I want to say something here. Somebody says to me, well, Pastor, I'm going to forgive them when they come and repent to me. Because God doesn't forgive me until I repent. Right? Good thought. But the problem is, I'm not God. God doesn't hold your sin. God doesn't hold your unforgiveness. God doesn't get a root of bitterness inside of him because he doesn't forgive. God doesn't hold that. God says, hey, we need to forgive before they ever trespass against us. If you're walking in the Spirit of God, and you're walking in the Spirit, when somebody comes and offends you, you said, oh man, I already forgave you this morning. I knew it was coming. People don't want to forgive. Jesus gave us the instructions. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Don't forgive and you won't be. I don't have an option. He didn't give me a clause. He says in Colossians chapter 3, you know, I heard somebody say one time, well, Pastor, you don't understand what they did to me. Well, you don't understand what they did to Jesus. In the midst of he was crucified, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Bible says, I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My battle is not with people. So if my battle is not with people, why am I holding unforgiveness and hurt from people? In other words, we let it take on form. Remember, it's the mailman. Your battle isn't with the mailman. Your battle is with the sender. Amen? Not the one that delivered the mail, but with us who sent the mail. Our battle is with Satan. Amen? Colossians chapter 3, verse number 13 says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Amen? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Amen? Amen? Half the time when you have aught with somebody, they don't even know you have aught with them. You're walking around this root of bitterness and all this pain and all this anger and things, and it's bottled up inside of you. And you know where it comes from? You know what it causes? Huh? Cause what? Bitterness. I believe it causes cankers in people's body. I believe it causes indigestion. I believe it causes ulcers. I believe it causes sores. God wouldn't tell us to continue to cast things and blame things upon Him if we were meant to carry them. Amen? In other words, when I'm carrying this thing, I'm not trusting in Him, I'm trusting in me. It's His word. You know what He says to you and I at the body of Christ in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1? He said, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Hello? Is that anybody in the house? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen? In other words, somebody's got to own up. I've learned this. I learned this. And one of the lessons I learned in life is there is many opportunities to be hurt in the body of Christ. I could either take the hurt. I could take the hurt and wait for them to ask me to ask forgiveness. Or I could just say, hey, I'll take the fault. In other words, whether it was my fault or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is healing. What matters is restoration. Was it Jesus' fault that He hung on the cross of Calvary? Was it His fault? Or did He just take it, the fault of you and the fault of me? And as spiritual, as grown-up men and women of God, God expects us to let it go. Let it go and let God. Let it go and let God. Let it go and let God. Let God be glorified in you. And you will never walk in peace and joy. You'll never operate in the fullness of the Spirit of God if you're carrying around unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. You'll never walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. You won't be operating in the fruits of the Spirit because that root of bitterness will come out time and time and time and time and time and time again. All of a sudden, something doesn't go your way, that root of bitterness comes back out. It comes up. It rises up. God says, get it beneath you. God says, let it go. He said, I paid for it on the cross of Calvary. They didn't attack you. They attacked me. I'll take care of it, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So what we're saying is, hey, Lord, it's your battle, not mine. Amen? Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen? What the Lord was saying to us, hey, if we're praying with resolve, if we're praying seeing the answer, not magnifying the problem, but magnifying the answer, we're praying in faith, we're believing God to do everything He said He will do, that He will do every word He said. Amen? Why do we believe this, but we don't believe that? Why do we believe this over here, but we don't believe this over here? Why do we believe this here, but we can't believe this here? You know, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be fully furnished unto all good works. God's given us everything we need. He is the resolve to every problem we face. He has given us the answer for every problem, every mountain, every circumstance, every situation He's got here. He says, just search me out. Seek me and you'll find me when you search with me or seek me with your whole heart. Amen. In other words, when I need an answer, I need to go to the answer giver. Amen. Amen. You hear me? You hear what the Lord's saying? Dr. Phil can't help you in most of the situations you're in. Hello? Reality check? Hallelujah. God's our answer to every problem. In every circumstance, in every situation. So in closing today, what is God saying to us there? He said, when we pray whatsoever we desire, when we pray, believe that we receive it and we shall have it. He says to you and I, it's important that we pray with focus, we pray with faith, and we pray with forgiveness. And he just took me one other place. James 5, 15 says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up, and if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. Praise God. All God is saying is, hey, let's not magnify the mountain. Let's magnify the answer. Jesus is the answer. His word is the answer. He gave us the Spirit to teach us, to instruct us, to guide us and to direct us in the ways of righteousness for his name's sake. All he's saying to you and I is, hey, let's focus on the answer and not the problem. Hello? Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're grateful that you sent your word here to the house to accomplish what you sent it to do. In the closing moments of the service today, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe one time you knew Jesus and you're not in that place you once were, and you'd like to give your heart back to Jesus, and this is all love. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, I need Jesus." Is there anyone in the room at all? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there anyone else here today? I need you, Lord. Is there anybody? Don't be ashamed. I saw that hand. You may put it down. I got you, babe. Anybody else? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here today? "Pastor, I'm not at the place I need to be. I once was on fire for the Lord, but that fire has gone out. I need that fire rekindled in my life." Is that you? Just pause it just for a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you, the young ladies, to raise your hand. If you would just come and join me, it's my honor to pray with you this morning. Would you do that with me? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Church, continue to pray. Bow your heads. This is the greatest decision and choice. I'm so glad that y'all are here.